The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to all of them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is to those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Do you guys want to come on down? Good morning. Hi. Oh my gosh, don't make me cry already. For those of you, it's terrible to start with an inside hello. Good morning. I'm Kate Lewis. I served here from 2003 to 2007. Many of you are old friends, and I expect that the rest of you are new friends. It's a pleasure to be here. Nice to see you. Your place is beautiful. Your faces are beautiful. I feel like Joel Grey in Cabaret. Life is beautiful. Truly, it's a joy. And you did raise me up, and you did teach me well. Paul, thank you, wherever you are, and all of you. I served here for 5 years. I then went to Hawaii and served in my hometown for 3 years, which is proof that you can go home again. I then came back to Thousand Oaks, and we settled back into our home, and I work now at St. John's Hospitals in Oxnard and Camarillo. I'm 5 years now, a board-certified professional hospital chaplain, 40 hours a week. That's my job. Yeah, it's good. It's really good work. I work with people when bad things have happened to them. I mean, nobody's really in the hospital for fun. I work with people every day who are dying, and it is a joy. It is such a joy, and it's such a blessing, and you have given me sort of the grounding and a rich place to spring from, so I'm able to do that work. And so I take you with me, and I give thanks for that. So life is good. And I have learned two things in my life have changed that I'd like to tell you about. The first is that I went on vacation a few weeks ago, and I came home and gave my big dog, my little dog, a big scratch on the neck, and there were lumps. Yeah. There were big lumps, and he's only 6 years old. And we took him to, gosh, you guys make me cry. We took him to the vet, and yes, it's cancer. And so where I had this overnight change, as you can well imagine. And I know that every one of us has been in that place of having an overnight change that just rocks your world like an earthquake. And please, as I speak to you today about my dog, let me stand in great awe and humility in the face of whatever terrors are in your life. So please, just know that I honor whatever it is for you and whatever comes up. But I went from being a person who, you know, just had a dog with kind of this vaguely endless, happy, unknown future to a person who's loving a dog who's dying. And it's so different. And and my faith and my work taught me to lean into it. So I'm embracing this time. I'm leaning into it. And I'm happy. Does that make any sense? Life is rich. I am so tuned into this dog. I am so in honor of his spirit. I am so tuned into what's going on for him. I'm watching his backbone show and each rib I can count. But I'm watching that in such a way that's so dialed in. I'm actually more alive as I pay attention to this bad thing that's happening. And I submit to you that that's the call of Jesus to us. I submit to you that the genius, the uniqueness, the beauty, the truth of our Christian religion is that we lean into what's hard and we transform it because we're resurrection people. Jesus died and rose, and that's our call, and that's exactly what we're here for. And believe it or not, that's the key to happiness. Leaning into the hard stuff is the key to happiness. Go figure. Another thing that's changed for me is I used to read this text, you know, fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. I used to read it as a threat, right? A moral threat. Get your act together, get your act together today, because you could die tonight, and then what's going to happen, right? This is not a threat. This passage is not a threat at all. This passage is one of the gifts of God for the people of God. Learn to live every day that your life is being demanded from you. Learn to live that way, and you will be so much the richer for it, and so happy, and so, gosh, the small stuff won't matter. And you'll do good, and you'll be good people in the world. And your lives will be hallowed, and resurrection will go wherever you go. I bring to you, I'd like to have a conversation today. I'm going to bring to you an icon that I found on Facebook. Dan made me laugh this morning. He said that now with everything that's going on, Facebook is kind of like this car wreck you can't tear yourself away from. But that may be true, but there's good stuff on Facebook. I found a sculpture. It's a bronze sculpture of a nude. It's a fine art nude. She's beautiful, and I'm going to pass out these cards, and let's talk about it. Where'd they go? I have plenty for everybody, and I could use some helpers. Just give clumps of them to people. I'll take a clump. I'll go to the back. Thank you. Oh, he's got, yeah. Somebody come back here with me. Oh, hi. We're going to need more back here. But I want to know what you think of this. Just one or two words, your first impression of this photograph. Wow. Challenge. Release. Peace. Serene. Serene. Did I hear peace? Did I? Electric. Is that what you said? Complete. Pain. Whole, I heard. Vulnerable. This sculpture was made by a woman named Paige Bradley. You can see her name is on the back there, and you can find more of her work. It's life size. It's about this tall and it's about this big, and it was photographed there in front of the Brooklyn Bridge. So we actually have two things to look at. We have the sculpture itself to look at, but we have the idea of this photograph. Why was the sculpture put there in front of the Brooklyn Bridge? You know, so there's kind of two levels there. She tells the story. She did her fine arts work at Pepperdine, and she became a figure sculptor, and as you can see, she's very good. She went to New York, and the curators and the critics in the 90s were not so much appreciating the figure. She wasn't getting her stuff out to where she wanted it to be, and was getting pretty discouraged by that. And I don't know if it was out of anger or frustration, I don't know, but she tells the story that one day she held up this wax that she'd been working on, right, because you do wax before you do bronze. She held it up and let it go. And she says in that moment, she was like, what have I done? But then she and her friends got together. They bronzed the pieces. She says she found a crazy electric guy who put lights in it. And you see what we have here. All of a sudden, the critics and the curators were into it. But you can see why. So I wonder about these two ideas I've brought up about leaning into the hard stuff, the terror, whatever it is, and knowing that to accept the hard places is one of the gifts of God for the people of God. I wonder how that sits with anybody. And you can speak if you'd like. It's a very scary idea. It's a scary idea. She dropped it and said, what have I done? Well, that's a good question. Out of brokenness comes wholeness and peace, or it can come. That's kind of a good theological question. Does it always? She's uplifted if you look at her face. It doesn't always come. The sadness sometimes lingers. Yeah. Terror is terror. That's a true story. And sadness does linger. That's true. She said that leaning into the hard places is acceptance, but turning your back on them and pretending they're not there, non-acceptance, is harder. And not real. It's harder and not real. Growing strength. It's called expansion, the peace. Growing strength. Jesus tells us not to be afraid so many times just because of times like this. We might block the light. We do block the light that wants to come out of us when we're afraid. You were going to say something? She's offering herself up. There's a confidence about her. She's in a prayer pose, and that neck and that jaw and that face are strong. I'm curious about why her fingers are so tense. That's not a peaceful, it's a yeah, right? There's an interesting tension there, but she's offering herself up. How often we try so hard to keep what bothers us in. And if we pause for a moment, it starts to seep out, and it does feel intense, is what you said. It breaks through. We're looking at this with light coming out. Maybe this is the only way that light can get in. That would have to do about those barns and making your perfect sculpture and saving it up in a barn. It's a beautiful sculpture by itself. It's perfectly fine and beautiful before it was broken. But while it... Tell me why the index finger touching the thumb is symbolic. There's a circle in life, ashes, there's a process. You have some trust in that process? A little bit. I have some trust in that process. You see something completely different. Tell me. It looks like she's receiving something and saying, "Thank you, God." There, it does go both ways. I think you're right. Can we, if we're not broken open, can we receive? Looks like she's seeking God. I'm going to say along those lines too, you know, Brooklyn is the new hipster place in New York, right? And so here she is photographed in Brooklyn, but without clothes on, right? So does she need all that hipster stuff? That world's going by behind her, and yet she's in this place of calm and strength. I find much to love about this photograph. I really do. Yes, sir.
She could be praying for what she thinks she needs or wants.
She could be praying. She could be praying for what she thinks she needs or wants, or she could be praying for what Christ is going to give her. Could go, and it may go both ways at the same time. One thing I've noticed in my sadness around my dog right now, this very lively sadness, is that my prayer life is easier. And not just the I want my dog to not be in pain, but my centering prayer, which, right, is all about letting your own ego die, letting your own false self and all the structures that you've built up for yourself maybe not be the most important thing, to let your barns crumble down. But I'm finding that my ability to sink into God in centering prayer has been easier, or one must never evaluate centering prayer, but... It's been easier. Let me just leave it at that. Yeah. To wrap up, I see this icon in three ways. I see it as healing, I see it as an icon of compassion, and I see it as an icon of faith. I see it as healing because those cracks... Anybody who was ever a teenager has cracks, or a child. You know, so many places in my life hurt, so many things didn't go right, so many things were hard, and I feel shame and crackedness in so many ways, but to think that they're beautiful, to think that I'm healed, to think that out of all those broken places in me is actually the light that makes me me, And that leads me straight to compassion, because it's from my light and my brokenness that I see the brokenness in each one of you. And when our lights touch, right, when mine can get out and yours can get in, and that's the God moment, right? And that's how we start to have compassion for each other. And that's really how forgiveness happens. And forgiveness is our call. That's what we're called to. That's what we got called to in the Lord's Prayer last week in our gospel. We were called to, he said, as you forgive others. That was the one call in there. And the way we forgive others is to have compassion. And for me, to see people as broken like that means that I can forgive people the way they annoy me. That's probably the thing I have to forgive the most. It's terrible. But, you know, to the one who's annoying me, when I see them in this light and I see their cracks, I'm transformed. I'm converted at that moment. There's resurrection happening in my heart, and I hope when I accept them. So this to me is an icon of healing, it's an icon of compassion, and it's an icon of faith. And faith is a very tricky thing. I don't care at all about intellectual assent to a belief system. That's not the faith I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the faith that comes when you get a bad diagnosis, the faith that comes when a terrible thing happens, the faith that comes when you're just not sure. And the way I see it in this icon is that I have trust. This icon shows for me what I already have, which I didn't really knew I had, which is the idea that I will be broken. I have been broken. I will break again, but I will live through it. And my brokenness will actually be beautiful. And that's my faith. I come to find out that's really my faith. I trust in resurrection. I know it's real. And I know it happens on a day-to-day basis. I know it happens at the deep, dark depths of my despair when I'm just not a pretty picture to behold. Resurrection happens. And I know that on the day I really do die, I will live through that as well. That's my faith. That brings me to more compassion than I've had before. And most of all, it says, yes, Jesus, you have healed me. Thank you. Amen.